Our scripture reading for this morning is first of all taken from the first seven verses of the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. I'm going to ask that you please join me as we join our voices in unison reading this wonderful text. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There's some wonderful stories in the Bible of people's encounters with either God or an angel in certain ways. There's the famous story in the book of Exodus of how Moses, after coming down from Mount Sinai, were told that his face was shining like the sun, to such an extent that as he walked down among the children of Israel, they backed away from him. We're told people were afraid to come near him. It would be interesting to see that, wouldn't it? To see Moses walking down among the people and people backing away because of some fear of seeing this glow in his face. Whenever God comes in contact with people in Scripture, even in the smallest ways, we sense this change in people. There's a sense of fear. You see it right away in the Garden of Eden when God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day and Adam and Eve have just disobeyed him. They run and hide from God. Moses also, before that incident at the burning bush, when God comes to speak to him, we're told that God said to him, "Do not come near, take off your sandals." And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look at God. The children of Israel on Mount Sinai said to Moses after that great incident and the lightning and the thunder and all of that around Mount Sinai and the giving of the law, we're told the people in the camp trembled. They stood afar off. They backed away from the mountain. "Don't let God speak to us," they said to Moses. "Don't let God speak to us or we'll die." In the book of Isaiah, when he's given a little glimpse of God in his glory, we're told that he says to himself, "Woe to me, I am ruined," means that my life is destroyed, is what he's saying. Then that story, you maybe remember as kids, of the handwriting on the wall, the time of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, at the time of Daniel. I remember loving that story as a little kid, but when you go back and read it, it's kind of terrifying. And how the king had taken his army down and stolen all the things out of the Jewish temple and was now using them at this huge banquet that he was throwing. And we're told that suddenly this huge hand of God, just the hand of God, begins to write on the wall in his palace. And we're told, these are great words, the king's color changed. The blood went out of his head. The king's color changed. His limbs gave way and his knees locked together. The transfiguration. We hear that Jesus' disciples are trembling. They bow with their faces to the ground. They just can't take even looking up at Jesus in his glory. And even times when God is doing something just like a miracle. For instance, the great catch of fish that Peter witnesses. He runs to Jesus and says, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And that's really the issue. In all of these cases, the issue as to why people just can't stand to be in the presence of this holiness is because of our evil. It's because of our sin. I know we'd all like to think it'd be so cool to have an angel come down and talk to us, but we'd be terrified. That's always the words that we hear. In fact, the Greek words in the Christmas story that you and I just read together, the Greek words are based in these roots. Listen to them, because we know them in English. Phobia, mega, okay? They were greatly, extremely scared, is what the word says. And that's how we would be in our fallen condition because of all of our wickedness and because we know we're mortal and we know that we're going to die. And we know that there's this huge contrast between this almighty, holy, all-powerful God and us. That's why there's such terror when it comes to having to be in the presence of God. But God, in our scripture lesson, kind of invites you to come to a different way to know him and to come to a different place to meet him. And he brings you, of all places, to this little baby, to this tiny little manger. And this is where he wants you to get to know him. This is how he wants to relate to you. If you've ever pushed a baby stroller with a baby in it through a mall, you'll get people come up and talk to you that would never talk to you otherwise. Or if you walk around with a little baby in your arms in a crowd of people that maybe doesn't know you, people are intimidated by you if they don't know you. They're afraid to maybe come talk to you, but if you've got a baby, that changes everything. They'll come up and talk to the baby, not to you, but they'll come up and interact with that little baby. There's just something so tender and inviting and warm and unintimidating. There's no fear involved at all. And this is how God wants us to relate to him. Years ago, my grandfather gave a book down to the family that came to me and had a story in there about a Russian prison back in the 1800s that it was a prison for women, and they were so unruly that they kept having to get new wardens. No one wanted to work there. And this young warden had arrived with his family, and his wife had a little baby. And one day she came walking through the compound outside of the gates, and all these prisoner women could see her, and they came rushing up to see the baby. And she decided to go to her husband and say to him, "How about to change the attitude of these women? How about if once a week the two who are the best orderly during the week get to come and help watch the baby with me?" And so they set this up and told the women about it, and it completely changed the dynamics of the women inside of that prison. That's what a little infant can do. And to think of it, that the Almighty God himself has chosen to put himself inside the body of this little tiny infant. And then he says to us in Scripture, "Come here. I want you to come up and meet me. This is who I am. This is how I want you to relate to me. This is how I want to know you." It's just the most beautiful, gentle way that God has come to us. And what he's really saying to us is the very words that the angels that we just read spoke to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. When you think about dying someday and think about judgment and all the sins in your life and the reasons God could have every reason to never let you come to heaven and be angry with you, God says, "No, come to the manger. Look at the baby. Don't be afraid. Look what he's come to do. Through this little baby's blood in his body and the muscles and the bones, as they grow up, they're going to someday be placed on a cross. And that's where your sin will be atoned for. But that very body is going to rise again someday and give you the hope of coming out of your graves as well. So God invites you through his word and through his sacraments. If you think about God's word and sacraments in the gospel, it's really just what the angels said to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this God. Come and know him, and know him in this child. And the purpose of this baby's whole life and his work, his mission, is just to help you be able to live in the presence of God without any fear. Right now, God says to you through faith in Christ, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence to find grace to help us in our time of need. So right now, even in our fallen condition, we don't have to be afraid, and we can come to God and talk to him the way a child talks to his father. But most importantly, this baby has come to give you that ability to stand in the presence of God without any fear at all in heaven forever. And that's really what his whole mission is. That's what Christmas is all about. It's God's way of saying, come here, meet me. I don't want you to be afraid of me, now or forever. Have a blessed Christmas.